This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Good afternoon, and I'm just going to let you know right here, right now, get your Kleenexes ready, because today's story is just so touching, I can't even keep it together. If you're wondering what the Sue Freeze Show is about, it's about seeking passion, purpose, and connection. Positive and negative things happen to us, and we have a choice whether to react or respond. Our decision will create our perspective in life and what we make of our life lessons. Wisdom comes from being honest to ourselves and others, listening to and applying the things that we and others have been through. You're going to hear some of that today. Take a chance. Share your life experiences to help change or mold a person's life, or plant a seed. Dare to believe and make a difference, to live your life on purpose for a purpose. Today we have a very special woman. Her name is Noelle Cablé. I hope I'm not massacring that. Anyway, her bio is she's a musician, singer, songwriter, educator, speaker, wife, and mother. Noelle began her career as a public educator, teaching in the performing arts. As a graduate of San Diego State University, she taught public education until she began her own family. After staying home with her three boys, she returned to her piano and has since written and recorded four CDs about her journey of faith. Her fifth will be released this October, titled One. Noelle has also written and contributed to several shows, ranging from children's theater to large multimedia faith-based concerts. In addition, Noelle is a guest speaker for women's events, both here in the U.S. and abroad. She lives in Southern California with her husband, Ken, and her boys, Kyle, 18, Corey, 16, and Keaton, all three Ks. She teaches pop piano and voice privately, works with several churches in the Orange County area, and speaks and plays professionally. Noelle, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Even your voice just sounds so soft and loving. You know, I'm going to start out, Noelle, with just asking you, what would be the purpose? What is your purpose for sharing your life with those listening today? What would you want to have happen?
I would like to see the Lord use this in other people's lives, that they might be encouraged and find hope.
So we're going to get right in, aren't we? We're going to get right into it.
All
so
right, let's go.
Okay. What was your childhood like?
My childhood was difficult. I was born to a couple of musicians, and they were parents that had trouble expressing love and dedication to the family that they created. And so I lived a tough life. I lived a tough life growing up, and right around 16, 17 years old, we were on welfare. We were a family of a lot of want. I know what hunger feels like. I know what it means to go without shoes. I know what it means to have to use food stamps in the grocery line and hide them so that your friends in the neighborhood don't see, and then go to school and tell people. I know what all that's about. I understand a certain kind of shame that comes with poverty. And at 16, having lived a lot of years through a childhood that included abuse of various nature, I met the Lord. I had someone come to me and say, you know what, Noelle, God loves you. And I was young enough and innocent enough to really believe it when I heard that, you know what, anything is truly possible if you give your life over to Jesus. And so that's what I did. And then I started living. It was at that moment I started to have a life.
So somebody came into your life mm-hmm. and shared the yeah. Lord's love,
mm-hmm.
and you received.
I did. And, you know, it was interesting. There wasn't really a moment that I can look back and say, this is the exact thing. It was more of a romance. It was more of a wooing. It was more of a gentle, come on over here. I've got a place for you on my lap. And that's what did it. And it took the arms of the church and of people around me to kind of reach out. You know, I don't know if you've ever had a bad burn, but you don't want people touching that burn. You protect it. And I had quite a few burns and still do, actually. God is not done working with me. But at that time, there were people who had the salve of his love in a way that I could understand. And then it spoke to me that I might take a chance and say yes to him. And slowly the Lord began to work in my life and lead me out of the terrible situation I was in and towards a new life.
That's a wonderful thing. And we're all called to do that for one another.
Yes.
And we have to be looking for opportunities.
Yes.
And they could be next door.
Could be right next to you in the coffee shop, and you'd never know. Yeah.
I have some childhood issues, too, and someday we'll probably go into that when I'm as brave as you.
Well, no wonder it affected you, because what I have found as I've spoken, as I have been honest about the pain of my life, when I talk about what my stepfather did, or I share about the want and the abandon, I'm saddened to see how prevalent it is that people who you wouldn't suspect would have that in their life actually do. And it creates a kindredness. So no wonder you have been moved by this, because if you've experienced it, you know that pain.
And there's so many out there that have it, and they fake it. They fake it and think it's everything's okay. Mm. And, you know, there's so many people that are hurting.
Well, that only works for so long, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And what I have found is that the Lord will bring you to honesty and authenticity. He will. He'll make you face it, and he gets you through it, no matter what it is. I'm that's why I'm here.
Right. And we're so glad you are.
Well,
if you're tuning in right now, this is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. You know, in reading your life story, I read it this morning, and I told you that I just welled up.
Mm.
And yeah, it's an incredible story, and there's just so much to it.
Yeah.
When you talked about your mother had 6 children.
Yes.
But you only knew about 5 of them.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, that's a tough one. My mom concealed a pregnancy, and we didn't really know about it. And then when I was 34 years old, he sought me out, and I found out at that time that I had a brother that's adopted. I've never met him. I don't know him, but there is someone out there. I don't know whose father would be, but she was a troubled soul, and she lived a troubled life, and then that affected her children. And so I've only met 5 of them from our side of the family. I don't know him, but I do know it's a man.
Huh.
Yeah.
So are you still with your other siblings? Are you in some contact with them?
Somewhat. I have, actually, it's a crazier story than I think is that I even sent you. It's, I have 5 siblings from my mother, and I have another 5 from my father. So there's like 11 of us total.
Mm.
I don't really have much contact with them. The children that my father had, he had from other marriages, and, we have limited interaction. And then, the ones that my mother had, we all experienced the same level of abandonment and need, and so they all haven't been as successful. I will tell you that I believe that that's a result of them not being able to embrace yet. I really think the truth of what the Lord has for them, and some of this takes strength to be able to look at, and maybe when you're broken sometimes that's a little more difficult. So I think that they struggle. I am close to one sister, and she's in another state at this time.
Are any of them saved?
Three of them have made a profession for Christ, and I will tell you that the minute that they did, things seemed to get better for them for a period of time, but they have all walked with a limp.
Okay.
They have all walked with a limp, and that just happens sometimes.
That's
when
sad.
Things are that bad.
It's sad.
It is sad. Yeah.
You know, you have a scripture here that you must rely on, 1 Peter 1:3.
Oh, yes.
And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, people listening, they're saying, how could you hide a pregnancy? Were you living with her at the time? I mean, I just find that amazing that you could, you know, someone could
all
be
right,
pregnant.
Well,
I mean, it's kind of right out there.
I know. Yeah, it is kind of out there, isn't it? Yeah, my mom told people it was a tumor.
What?
I know. It sounds crazy. It's like Hollywood movie stuff, but it's the truth. She told people it was a tumor. She concealed it, and then she went away to give birth, and then she came back.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But isn't it interesting when you're that far gone, the extent that you'll go to hide the sin in your life? And to me, that's a telling point, that the level of self-delusion that people will engage in when they're not willing to look at the truth. And when I saw that in her life, it became a marker for my own. I don't want that. I don't want to be living my life to an extent that I'm that self-deceived. So that was, I think, one of the first issues that when I came to the Lord, I said, you know, Father, help me always to face the truth with as much moxie as I can get in my life. And I've tried to live it ever since then. And that's what helped me when I went to college and I moved to San Diego to be with my father when I was reacquainted with him at 19. I hadn't really had a relationship with him, and he was dying of liver cancer at that time. And when I went to San Diego, knowing that I want to live the truth with as much moxie as I can, I got the bold idea in my heart that maybe God has more for me than just living an average life. Maybe if I really do believe that anything is possible, I could work really hard and he will bless it and take me somewhere. And so I started college. But at that time, my father was very ill, and my stepmother had a problem with my, in her opinion, I was being irresponsible by not getting a full-time job. But I said, no, I really feel in my heart God's got something out here for me. And that became the line in the sand for them and myself. And they kind of asked me to make a decision, you know, either go to work at a fast food restaurant full-time or go to college. And so I said, you know, I believe God told me to do something. I'm going to do it. I'm supposed to go to college. He put a brain inside me that works fairly well 5 days of the week, and I think I can put those 5 days to use. So I said, no, thank you, and they said, well, then you're going to need to move out. And I was faced with a crisis, but once again, Lord, how do I do this with as much strength and honesty and moxie as I can? And I began to pray, and one day, when it all looked pretty hopeless, I ran into somebody and heard they had a room. Then she went to her parents, and I met with them, and that led to that fateful dinner where I sat at their table, and they questioned me about my life. I told them that my mom was a taco short of a combo plate, and my my dad was very ill, and they didn't really know how to love me.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to reach beyond their own pain, their own problems. They didn't know how to give away, and in doing so, they shoved me away.
Hmm.
And this family said, well, we'll take a chance. And I lived with them for 6 years.
6 years?
6 years, yeah.
Did they ask you to pay rent?
They did. I paid $100 a month room and board. There's a little story here I love to tell. You know, being as poor as we were, I never really had a bedroom set. I never really had anything beautiful. I used to dream as a little girl of the bedroom that was perfect, you know, the pink flowers with the canopy bed and all the accoutrements, and didn't have any of that. I slept in a bed with other kids and we fought for the one blanket that was there and stole each other's pillows at night. And, you know, I never dreamed I would have anything of my own. And so when they showed me the room originally, it was in pretty difficult shape. It was undone. They were in the middle of remodeling it, and I didn't know what it would look like. But it was better than anything I'd had up to that time. And I said, well, I'll take it. I'll take that room. That's pretty darn ugly, but that's all right. I love it. And I came back a week later, and I opened the door, and I drove all the way out from Escondido to Carlsbad, and I was praying the whole time, saying, Lord, you know, I got the feeling that this is the start of something new, that my life might take a turn here, and that this might be a moment of change that could be permanent. And I'm scared, and I'm excited, and I'm impassioned, and I want it. But, oh, Lord, you know, I don't even know how to breathe in this moment, but this is great. And I drove up, and I went in the house, and I walked up the stairs, and I opened the door to that bedroom, and I had my little box with me of stuff, and I couldn't even breathe because I looked, and it was everything I had ever dreamed of. The wallpaper was, you know, the pink roses, and the bed was a canopy bed, and the sheets were eyelet, and it was something I had never known. From the moment I walked into their house, they took me in as one of their own. They treated me like their own daughter. And how do you walk away from that kind of love when you've never known it? So I sat in that for a long time.
I bet. Years. So yeah. Did you feel that it was difficult for you to trust?
Well, that is an ongoing issue.
It is still an ongoing issue.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't go through the things I went through. You don't get beaten by your stepfather the way I did. You don't get set aside and abandoned and neglected and belittled without something happening.
Right.
And yet my life is not over. And I look at that issue and I tell myself the same thing. If I just hit it with strength and moxie, Lord, someday you will heal that completely. I believe that. So, yeah, it is an ongoing struggle. I'm not perfect.
But your husband knows your story.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking with you.
He's walking with me. And, you know, we've had to learn and grow. He came from his life, and I came from mine. And he has his things, and I have mine. And we join each other, and we blend together to raise these three beautiful human beings that we have. And it's a constant working towards vulnerability, which, you know, I struggle with from time to time. And yet I know that even this year, the Lord has really shown me in intensive ways that there's more for me to learn on this and grasp. And I've set my face in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm reading your bio, and it says that when you were in school, it says, I spent time in school doing anything I could to keep away from home. Track, yeah. Baseball, volleyball, gymnastics, tennis, mm-hmm. band, art, pottery, mm-hmm. poetry, whatever I could engage in that kept me far from the nightmare I called home.
Mm. Yeah.
And you still ended up a good student, and you didn't get into too bad a trouble, which is surprising because so many kids, you know, because they've been through what you've been through, they end up on the other side, and
mm-hmm.
they get in with the wrong crowd or, mm-hmm. you know. So
but that's mercy. I look at that, and it's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. You know, I'm no better than anybody else.
Right.
I know that. I got lucky.
Yeah.
And God did something, and even at in early years, I always believed in him. I just didn't really know his name.
And you believed in him. Did somebody, was there a Bible on the coffee table? Was, mm-hmm. I mean, at 16, I know that
profession, yes.
Yes, but before that, mm-hmm. I mean, your parents were musicians, and mm-hmm. They were going through their own trials and tribulations. So did you have any introduction to the Lord? Do you remember?
Oh, you know, it's the myriad of things that happened. It's the gal that lived on the corner when I was 9 years old who'd feed me cookies and tell me about Jesus. It's the teacher who let me throw pottery in high school and locked me in the band room when no one was looking so I could play piano, who told me about Jesus. It was the gal when I was 5 years old who took me to the church down the street and said, I'm trying to earn a free radio by how many visitors I bring. Come on, Noel. And I said, okay, I'll go. Do I get a radio? No, you help me get one. Well, that's fine. I'll go. I just You know what I mean? It's all of it. I look back and there's, even though 16 was the moment when I said, oh, wait a minute, I know who you are. You're Jesus. I still see him in those preceding years.
It says here, I can see even that the hand of God over my life, Psalm 40:11. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. Mm-hmm. May your love and your truth always protect me. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that he always was protecting you?
Yes. And I can say that even in the middle of being beaten, I can tell you that I see him. I do, because I know it could have been worse than it really was.
Noelle, we're going to play the song that, you know, that you're going to have come out. It's called Crowns. Mm. So we're going to play that right now.
Awesome.
Okay, so listen in.
Okay.
If there be any praise, give it all to Jesus. If there be any good, let it be in his name. If there be any glory, it's because it rained down, and at the feet of Jesus we will lay down our crown. And if there be any love,
Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Noel, that was beautiful.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, it sounds really great. Cool. My little laptop didn't sound near as full.
Oh, well.
So tell me about the song.
I was in the middle of a project, and I was it was a production that we did called 33, and it was about the life of Christ. It's kind of a presentation. It's multimedia in nature. We did film and dialogue and acting, and we had a 100-person choir and an amazing band. And I had been at a rehearsal where all the pieces had fallen into place, and it had gone from some idea in the middle of the night, and I ran to my favorite restaurant and typed it out that next morning to seeing this rehearsal happen. And I didn't know up until that moment, would this work? I don't know. Am I nuts? Yeah, maybe. But it worked. And I saw it happening. And I was overwhelmed with this sense of joy. I thought, Lord, we did it. Think about that. This could really bless people. And yet I felt that there was one more song to write. And so I began praying about it. And later that night, I was walking through my living room and my grand piano. I have a beautiful piano there. And some windows that are high up, and the moon was full, and the light was coming through those windows, and it was falling on my piano, and literally was falling on my keys. And I felt that voice in my head that is not my own, that whispered, and it said this: there's something waiting for you. And so I sat down, and I said, "What, Lord, what is it?" And I began thinking about the rehearsal and how well it went and how this idea had come to fruition, and what would it actually be like if it was received in the way it was intended. Would I absorb that and say, oh, it's all mine, I did it, or would I give it away back to the one it came from? And that's where Crowns was, that's what it was written about. If there's anything that I do, it's got to go back to him.
And I agree with that. It's just like this radio show. It's not my show, it's God's show.
Amen. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there's another paragraph here. It says, you don't go through kind of life I lived and come out without more than a share of scars.
Yeah.
I was needy and soul-starved. I was bright but incapable of reaching my potential because there was no support for me.
Right.
But this little church, with its warts and all, loved me for who I was, for who I could be, for what I would never be, for all that I would become in Christ. They were the hands and hugs of God.
Yes.
And that brings me to a thought of judgment. You know how so often churches and people and just people have a sense of judgment. And I think that, you know, God loves us. And, you know, I just, this church didn't judge you because it could have.
Well, there's no institution that's perfect.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
no
absolutely true.
That's perfect. But the thing that changes lives is not the perfection of an institution, but his perfect love.
That is absolutely correct.
He displays that through his body.
Yes.
And when we are actually doing what we're called to do, we change the lives of others. And in my case, it was a permanent, profound change.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't repeat the mistakes of my parents. My
kids
wonderful. Are great.
That's wonderful.
My family is intact because they were willing to reach out at a time when it was important to lift me up.
Mm-hmm. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Noel on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And that's what that church group and the people that embraced you and loved you just as you are, they did. Are you there, Noelle?
And I'm excited to think about what you've just said, because it could all have been so different. And yet it wasn't, because they were able to reach out and just love me. And God's still bringing those people into my life, people who see beyond my own issues and my own problems to see the person that Jesus loves. And that changes me still. It levels me. And yeah, that scripture says it all, doesn't it?
Says a lot. And I'm going to put this in bold and put it near me. Because, you know, we're all called to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's two groups of people right here. And we all are little children. I think they've got little children in us that need that embrace and that love. And we need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, and it needs to be a safe place to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody is judging, if you feel judged, it's hard for you to feel safe. And if you don't feel safe, you're not going to get the healing that you need.
No.
So I guess this is a call out to those listening. If you're on the side that is in need right now, and you need to be embraced, and you need to be loved, feel that love of the Lord, you know, maybe you need to let that guard down and let somebody know, because maybe we don't know. Maybe, you know, we could be next door, but we just don't know. So if you can find it within yourself to either call here, 888-995-5552, and talk to us, or just allow yourself a little bit of trust, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And for the others that are listening that can be of help, and give that love from the Lord, or give that room, that fancy room, or just a bed. If you're somebody that can do that, reach out. Touch somebody. Reach out and just share God's love with someone today and
you
tomorrow.
You know, the Lord will bring many ways to do that. I've noticed that often as I speak with people. I've had many women come up and say, well, should I give my room away? I don't know. But I know that there's a myriad of ways you can reach out and help. You know, simple things from providing groceries or just comfort. My neighbor was dying last year, and I used to just go over with my puppy and let her pet the dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just showing love, just trying to be available to whatever the need is. Because God will lead you in that direction and take you, because He wants to. He wants His people to represent Him.
This family that took you in and that you lived there 6 years, there's more to that story. They're still your family, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're my children's grandparents. I call them my godparents. My godmother is Mrs. B. She's the mother that God gave me when mine couldn't do her job. And her love has made all the difference in my life, given me a place to go to. They're still around. Mr. B is still the man that wrapped my arm around his arm when I was just about to walk down the aisle, and he turned to me, and he's a big guy, and he's kind of gruff, and he goes, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "No, I'm not nervous. I just don't want to trip on my dress." And he looked down at me, and he smiled, and he goes, "Don't worry, I've got you."
Aww.
And it's that. He had me. And that's the thing that God did. He gave me somewhere to go. And, yeah, they're still in my life. Their family, their daughters are my sisters. Their children are my nieces and nephews.
And now you have the family you didn't have.
I have a bigger family than I ever dreamed of.
Wow, what a story.
Way bigger. Yeah.
So what's the goal of your music?
Oh, you know, the goal of the music of my life is that I might speak of the love that he has given me and to talk about the journey, because it hasn't all been easy. And my calling, the thing God's told me to do, I think, is to try to speak authentically in the lyrics and in the melodies that he puts in my heart to say something about the relationship I have with him, the good and the bad.
What do you mean the bad?
Well, in other words, 3 years ago, my son that I adore, he was found to have an inoperable brain lesion.
Oh.
And we've been to the best in the world, and we've been given a diagnosis, and the best in the world have told us we just don't know what it means. Mm. And I've walked with the Lord a long time, but when you find out that your child has a problem and you can't mitigate it, can't change it, can't fix it, can't remove it, can't make it better, that changes you. And my goal through music has been to always try to at least say even those hard things, if I need to find him.
When you don't have all the answers?
I don't.
Nope.
I don't.
Yeah. And sometimes we ask, why? Why, God?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, and that's hard, and
yeah,
it isn't easy. And you look at life, and it kind of plunged me, but I wrote a bunch of material about it, and God began to minister to my own heart through what he wanted to say. And I realized one day, I was walking out of a coffee shop, and it just hit me. I was worried. I'm being a mom, and I'm thinking about that thing in there, and how do we get at it? And we can't. It's impossible to reach. And then suddenly I thought, but wait a minute. It's a congenital problem. It's been there his whole life.
Mm.
And God knew. God knew and was gracious enough to tell us so that we could take care of him in the best way possible and be forearmed. And the days that my son has on this earth have not been affected by my knowing. God's always known. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but I found a comfort in it. Because you're talking about trust earlier, and you're talking about vulnerability. That's where the rubber meets the road. I'm not saying I got it down. I don't. I struggle with it every day. But it did bring a sense of peace to know this hasn't really affected the game plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
He just let me in on the secret.
That's big.
Yeah, it is.
So how old is your son?
He's 18.
18.
He's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. They're all gorgeous. I'm sorry.
Are they all musical or no?
No. I made them all take one instrument because I think to be a well-rounded individual, you have to do more than play football and baseball.
Uh-huh.
So I made them all. One took the drums, one took bass guitar, and the other one took guitar. And the dream was to have a band, but they're not going to join it, so that's fine. I'll go out and play on my own.
Right. So you don't have a full family of band.
No,
have a band.
That's okay. But
that's
we have
okay.
fun. My
yes.
husband plays the radio.
And when you were growing up, you didn't really have a voice, or you didn't know you had a voice?
Well, that's interesting.
Because your voice is beautiful.
Oh, bless the Lord. That's awesome to hear. You know, when you're living a life like I lived, and when your parents are self-absorbed and it's all about them, and when you're on the victim end of their life all the time, there's not a lot of money or time or energy to invest in you. I began playing piano very quickly after I accepted the Lord and when I really had that recognition. And that became a language, and it was only through teaching and then using it in the classroom and doing little church productions that finally I said, the Lord cornered me and said, are you going to do this or not? And so I prayed about it, and I had a wrestling, you know, at the river.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up and I said, all right, God, uncle, I give in. I will go ahead and do this music thing, but I'll do it on one condition, that you might let me play with abandon. And I'll go to the woodshed, and I'll do what I need to do, but you got to touch me and let me play with abandon. And he did. I felt it. I knew when it happened. There was something that turned in me, and I did my job. Don't get me wrong. I did my scales. I worked hard. I wrote. I practiced. But there was one day when it all changed, and then God began opening doors for me to share with other people, and that's been a real thrill.
Yeah, and you're sharing, and you're going to continue to share, and the doors continue to open.
I hope so.
Your story is one of overcoming abuse, and you've had quite a bit of it.
Yes.
But you say it really is twofold. It's about finding the strength to overcome obstacles,
mm-hmm.
but you also talk about the importance of reaching out as
mm-hmm.
Christians.
Yes.
And that was kind of the goal of this hour.
Yes.
Was to call out to people. So go ahead and say what you want to say.
Well, all I know is to whom much is given, much is required. And I, even through the difficult issues of my life, I have been given much. And as a result of being given so much, there's a stirring in me to want to give it away to help others. And I think that it's necessary that people see my story, not as one where, you know, oh, poor Noelle, all these terrible things happened, and, you know, we feel sorry for her, because that would just land nowhere. What they have to see is that there's a greatness to being able to reach out to other people with the love of God. There's a greatness to it, and it's a calling on all of us. So it's a twofold story. It's about being able to, with authenticity and contriteness of spirit, say, Lord, help me through the hard things. But also, it's the story of people who said, we're going to take a girl who is kind of broken, and we're going to pour into her as unto the Lord. We're going to give it away because he told us to. And as a result of that, they changed my life. And now I want to do that for others in any way that I can, whether it's through talking, speaking, music, the coffee shop, buying somebody a cup of coffee. You know, that's what I think it's all about.
We have just a few minutes more.
Mm-hmm.
The church is described as a body whose parts are all interconnected, 1 Corinthians 12:12.
Yes.
God never intended that we be autonomous. Mm-hmm. Living in our personal faith, we are not like a bag of marbles. Rather, we're to be like a bunch of grapes whose juices blend in times of pressure.
Yes.
Guard against living in isolated Christian life. Share your confidence in God's faithfulness. Your testimony, you listeners, could help others' faith to grow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're troubled by doubt or fear, let go of any pride or shame and seek help from a strong believer. Mutual blessing awaits when we reach out to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message that I want to give right now, is I want to encourage each one of us to reach out of our comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone. We got to step out of that and use our gifts that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
Noelle's using her gifts, her singing, her piano, and she came from a musical family, so it makes sense to some degree,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's redeemed.
Absolutely.
It's redeemed.
Absolutely.
It's a redeemed thing, because it shouldn't have been. And isn't that how all our lives are supposed to be, redeemed?
Uh-huh.
Living in a way that maybe shouldn't have been, but because God stepped in, he changed the course of everything.
You know, I went on Facebook and I asked for people to, you know, that wanted to be guests on my show. And for this show, I had more than one person, you know, contact me, and I have another gentleman that's going to come on in another day who has a story that's not the same, but, you know, trials, tribulations, no answer as to how he ended up where he is now. And it's just amazing. And we use, you know, our trials and our tribulations to either, you know, there's some people that say I'm the victim, poor me, but there's other people that say I'm going to utilize this. It's made me stronger, and it's made me want to help others not have to reach that level, or, you know, to pull them out if we can, or still give them hope when they feel hopeless.
Well, it's worth it. You know, it's worth it because I ended up having three children who've been able to live also the blessing of someone reaching out to me.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and on and on. You know, someone told me, reminded me last week that God's word does not return void.
Mm-mm.
And that's how this works. It does not return void. He goes on and is creating generations of people who can experience healing and know the fullness of his love. And that's a really cool thing.
And it doesn't matter who you are, where your walk is right now, we are all called to ministry, to minister to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any other heroes that you haven't told me about?
Heroes. I love that. I love the question of heroes. C.S. Lewis is a hero.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis is a hero. When my son was diagnosed with his brain lesion, I was reading pounds and pounds of C.S. Lewis because his story is a very interesting one. And there was a genius to the man, and yet he gave selflessly. When he passed away, his estate was only worth about $120,000, and he had earned millions. And they can't account for it all went, for where it all went. They think he gave it away when no one was looking.
Hmm.
And I love that idea of giving it away when nobody's looking. And so that's a hero to me. That's a hero to me. My son is a hero to me. Because he gets up and he smiles and he puts his face forward and in the midst of what he's facing, he's one of my heroes.
What's his name?
Kyle.
He's Kyle.
Yeah.
One of the three or four Ks, because your husband's a K.
I know, and that wasn't intentional. It's kind of funny. Kyle was intentional, but you know what happened? I was very,
I'm glad
very,
you cleared that up.
Yeah, I was very, very, very pregnant and had different names for my children. And the day before they were born, I had this bright idea that, you know what, all the clothes are tagged KC, so if I name them with a K, it'll be easier when you pass the clothes down.
What is that saying about you?
I'm way too pragmatic.
That's pretty funny. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, God's been really good. Yeah. And I don't know.
Are your mom and dad, I think you said this already, are they still alive?
No. They passed away
quite
a bit ago. My father died not too long after I moved in with the Bentons. And my mother passed away about 8 years ago.
Okay, and your dad, he didn't see you for a long, long time, and then when he was dying, he wanted to reconnect.
Yeah, my mom had kept us from him. You know, she had custody, and so she didn't really care for him and kept him from us and didn't really have a relationship. And then he contacted me when I was 19. I was working as a box girl at Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was dying of cancer and wanted to see me. And I'd been praying about what was next. And so when I got the phone call, you know, I had that prescient feeling that this is the next thing. So within a week, I packed up my couple of boxes and went to Escondido. And 6 months later is when I moved in with the Bentons. There's a cool little part of that story I don't think I got to share, that I graduated from San Diego State University. And I had my teaching credential, and I got a job. And my life was on launch, and I was engaged to be married. And Mr. and Mrs. B, on the day of my graduation, handed me a bank book. And in that book was all my rent money.
Oh, wow.
They had taken my $100 a month and put it in a bank account because they knew I had nothing.
Wow.
And so...
That's a great way to finalize this show.
Yeah. I mean,
that's touching.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I jumped for joy because I could buy the wedding dress that I wanted to buy.
That is so fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to meet these people. They sound just so amazing.
Yeah, they're in their 70s now, but they love Jesus every bit as much as they did when I met them.
That's so amazing. Noelle, I just really appreciate you being willing and able and to be vulnerable and to share your story. I think we've touched hearts out there. Nobody called in, which is a shame, but
okay.
I believe we touched them anyway.
Yeah.
And 'cause we both prayed for that.
Yeah. No, God's at work here.
Yeah.
We know it. He's
so
doing good things.
I appreciate your insight and input.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blessing.
And I thank all of you for listening to The Sue Free Show. Dare to believe and just understand that you are forgiven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We're forgiven.
Yeah.
Thanks, Noelle.
You're welcome.
Forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services. The benefits specialist, Denon Simpson, saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.